Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for September 13th, 2020. We would like to apologize for the quality of the audio. We had some difficulties with our technology, but we do have a recording for you. But hopefully next week the audio will be a little bit better. If you'd like to follow along, you can go to the gracebaptistchurchnc.org website. Click the sermons link at the top and choose today's manuscript, September 13th, 2020. Here's Pastor John.
He gives us the command, and then after the command, he's going to tell us why, which is the second part of verse 11 and verse 12. So that's the way I'm going to set up the sermon. First part, we're going to look at the command itself. What does it mean to speak evil against one another? So that's the first part. Second part, we're going to move into why we don't do that. And I'll have three reasons under the why. And today, half our time is going to be just in applications to us as a church and as a culture. And so, here we go. First part of the sermon, the command. What does it mean to speak evil against another person? Well, before answering this question, I think it is important to know our boundaries on harmful speech. The context of James is really the body of Christ. He's a pastor. He's writing to Christians there, and what was going on in their context, he's addressing those things. We don't know exactly why they were quarreling and fighting. We know some reasons, but we know what was going on, and it wasn't good. So his context was there. There was obviously some speaking evil against a brother or sister there in the body. And I think that this is pretty clear when we read chapter 3 of James. I won't go back and read now. So the context is Christians. He's concerned with Christians. However, if you look there at the end of verse 12, he says, "But who are you to judge your neighbor?" He extends brother all the way out. I think just taking the law of God into mind, as God says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's where James is taking that. So it's a sin to speak evil against a brother or sister, or it's a sin to speak evil in the wrong way against anybody out there. So that's the context of the command. So with that in mind, let's move on to the meaning of what James is getting at here. What is harmful speech? Well, have you ever called someone a name to their face? Probably. When we were small and younger, often young kids call each other names. Kids are ruthless at stuff like that. And then we've all taken part in that. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever harmed your spouse with words that hurt? Yes, if you're married, if you just didn't get married yesterday, you still probably will fall into that category. And I must always say, from just Christian counseling and thinking about marriage, we can do things, husbands, that, our wife might not like, leaving certain clothing around the house or something like that. That's not the best thing to do, but that's nothing compared to using our words to say, do you remember that? How dare you? And I just bring up things. Those are the kinds of things that we should refrain from, just as a little quick application. But we've all done that if we're married. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten upset with the news media? Of course you have. And then uttered some kind of evil speech in your own living room? Of course. I think we've done that. And these are just a couple of questions, just thinking about evil speech or harmful speech. There is so much more, though, as we will see. The literal translation here in the Greek is just to speak against. But it is often, as we'll see, translated as slander. That is often the translation we get. It is speech that harms another person in some way. And James says it is a sin against God. God hates it. And I think this is why James commands us not to take part in harmful speech. Now, as I look in the Old Testament and the New Testament to speak evil against someone or to slander has many applications. Many examples we can see in the Bible of harmful speech. Let me just give a few of them. One of them is this. Harmful speech can be the wrongful questioning of legitimate authority. Harmful speech can be the wrongful questioning, just questioning of legitimate authority. One example is when the people of Israel were in the desert. And what did they do? They questioned the authority of Moses. Well, how did that go for them when they questioned the authority of Moses? Numbers 21, verses 4 and 5. The people became impatient on the way. And the people, here's the word that James is using, well, it comes from the Hebrew. It's free in the Hebrew, but anyway, we'll talk about that later. But here's what they did. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Children, look, those of us who are children, look up here at me. Do you ever question the authority of your parents? Maybe, especially as you get a little bit older, yeah? And then, after you question their authority, then you go to your children and your friends at school, and then you talk about your parents, some decision they made that you didn't like. That's certainly going to happen. Have you ever done that? Let me ask you this, to all of us. Have you ever questioned the authority of your boss because your boss made a decision you did not like? And then, we're going to see it's okay to question authority. But to do it the wrong way, we don't do it the wrong way. But have you ever questioned the authority of your boss and then gone and grumbled and complained to your coworkers behind your boss's back? Have you ever questioned the authority of a pastor? Have you ever seen that happening and then gone to someone else and talked about it and grumbled and complained in a way? These are questions we must ask. Does anyone here use harmful speech against the government? Well, I think we've all taken part in all of these things. And again, these are just a few questions, guys. And again, we're going to get down to the motive coming on. But these are just good questions to ask. So that's one example we see. Questioning legitimate authority. Another example, harmful speech slanders someone in secret. Again, to slander is to do someone harm. The word defame, you might have seen that defamation. That's a word that's been translated as well. But to slander is to do someone harm by making a false statement. And what usually happens is this comes as a result of a questioned motive. I know they shouldn't have done that. And then what we do is we question the motive when we really don't know. And then we go and talk to others about what we presume to be the motive of the person that we disagree with. This can be, certainly, slander. In other words, you think that you know why someone did something, and then you speak in a harmful way about that person. So here's a pretty important statement as we apply this to us as Christians in the church. The questioning of motive and then saying something as if it were true may be the greatest way to sow discord in the body of Christ than any other way. Let me say that again, because that's a long sentence. The questioning of motive and then saying something as if it were true may be the greatest way to sow discord in the body of Christ than any other way. And then, what makes this so difficult and what makes this so bad is we do this in secret. In other words, we question motive of someone else in our hearts, and then what do? We do not go to that person at all. That's a big problem. We do not approach our brother or sister and give them a chance to explain to us their motive. And so therefore, we grumble and complain. It's this is what James is saying. There's going to be an application to that later on. But, you know, we think, well, I'm telling you something about something that's happening over here about another person. And so then what you think you're saying is, hey, I'm just telling the truth. Have you ever done that? So-and-so does something, and you want to share that with someone else, but you have a person, you think they're wrong, you question their motive, and you think you got it right, and you go to someone else, and you say, oh, I'm just telling the truth. I think I've certainly done that before. Well, Psalm 101, verse 5, we find some very strong words from God, indicating how much God hates those who slander in secret. Here's what it says. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Which James may be getting that because he's talking about God, the one who has the power to save and to destroy. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and following. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, and a false witness who breathes out lies. Harmful speech slanders someone else in secret. That's another example. Let me give one more. One more example, which may be the most obvious. Harmful speech makes incorrect accusations. Now this just really follows our previous example, because even if we think we are right in our judgments and our speech, we may be wrong. And that happens often. We really feel like we're right, but we're wrong. And God knows, maybe we don't. We still make accusations. That just makes us, when you think about things like that, makes us think how careful we really should be with our tongues when we speak. And so I think that when we make these kinds of accusations and we're wrong about it and we don't know it, they're still considered harmful speech. But this also includes purposeful like statements against someone, false accusations. 1 Peter 2, this is often what the world will do when they speak against Christians. 1 Peter 2, verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against, there's the word in Greek, speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. This is happening all over. It's been happening since the time of Christ and before to God's people making accusations, false accusations against us. During Jesus' trial, untrue accusations were made against Jesus. It's happened with Paul, his trial with the Jews. Untrue accusations. It's happened all throughout history with martyrs. Untrue false accusations. All of these things fall under harmful speech. Now, there are other examples that I have missed. But to speak evil against someone covers any speech that harms another person, and this is sinful. Now, at the same time, this doesn't mean that we sit by as a doormat. Doesn't mean we do not question authority or use our tongues to express truth, because that's what we're supposed to do. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But we can use our tongues without engaging in harmful speech. Now, that's the first part of the sermon. Now let's move on to the second part. And let's move to the whys this command is so wrong. Now, it's one thing to say, just do something. And it's another thing to say, do it. And then here are the reasons why. That's what James is doing. So here's your reasons. I have three of them. Whether harmful speech is directed against a brother in Christ, or whether it's directed against a neighbor, it's still sin. But let's keep this, we're going to move back down to the Christian context for now. But I have three reasons why it's wrong, particularly in the context of the body. First reason, harmful speech is sinful because it judges a brother wrongly. This is right out of the text, verse 11. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother. Here, James is equating harmful speech against a brother or sister with some kind of judgment. At least in James' context, one brother or sister was judging another person wrongly. And this was evident in the way they were speaking. James is following the words of Jesus, who says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Judge not, that you be not judged." You ever heard that before? That seems like the world says that to us all the time. It's good when it's convenient to say, "Judge not." But then when it's okay to judge, it's okay to judge. But Jesus is the one who is the example of giving the words. "For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" One person might say, "Don't eat this. Do not drink that." Paul says in Romans 14, when he comes back to, that one person esteems one day better than another, while another person esteems all days alike. One person has a strong biblical position on a matter of ethics. Another person, who by the way has the Holy Spirit, another Christian, may have a strong biblical position on the same matter of ethics. They may fall differently. One person says, "You know what, I cannot watch that movie." Another person says, "It's okay, the right context to watch that movie." One Christian says, "Dating is what we must do, and it's okay for my girl." Another Christian says, "No, we just need to court one another and forget about, you know, kiss, date, and goodbye, whatever." Well, this may also apply in some way to the wearing of masks in some way, shape, or form. There are all kinds of reasons that we may judge each other wrongly and then find ourselves harming one another with our speech. That's one reason, judging our brother, okay? Second reason, right from the text as well. Second reason, harmful speech is sinful because it judges the law. Now, as we've seen with a couple passages earlier in James 1, I do believe that James' reference for law is certainly Mosaic law. After all, Leviticus 19 says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people." So James is just quoting Leviticus on slander, and you know, it's really clear to him. And to slander someone falsely just falls under the larger command, which says that we shall not bear false witness, very clearly. At the same time, though, as James sits on the other side of Christ in the New Covenant, the Mosaic Law, James is seeing this commandment fulfilled in the law of love, the royal law, the law of Christ, the new command I give you. You've had a couple sermons on that in James previously. And so he's thinking about Mosaic Law. Of course, that's a springboard, but as a Christian, he's seeing it fulfilled in Christ. So, with that in mind, unjust criticism, harmful speech of a fellow believer contradicts the demand to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It doesn't do it. It doesn't love our neighbor. It doesn't love our neighbor as Christ loves us. After all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That is the reason Jesus came. He loved the world. He loved sinners. He is a friend of sinners. And he laid down his life. That's why we're here today, because Jesus died on the cross. And for those who believe in him, put their faith in him, trust in him, then all of the punishment, the wrath that we deserve for our sins and our sins concerning harmful speech, Christ has taken upon himself. We give him our sin. He gives us his righteousness. and our sin was punished on the cross. And then he rose again, and he sits at the right hand of God. That is why we are here today. That is the gospel, very clearly. But harmful speech is sinful because it judges the law. And when we do that, then we put ourselves even above the law. So how do we do this? Let's move on to reason number three. Look at verse 12. As you're looking there, number three, harmful speech is sinful because it judges also God. It just follows suit. Look at verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So, when you speak, we speak about a brother or a neighbor in a harmful way, judging that person wrongfully, in other words, presuming to believe, especially that we know where they are with God and we know where they are spiritually, then what we do is we take the place of God, who gives the law, and he is the judge of the law. And so, do you see James' reasoning in this passage? Here it is. When you speak in a harmful way and you judge wrongly another person, you break both the specific command not to slander and the royal law of love. And then when you do this, you also commit adultery. Excuse me, I will say that, push it there, but idolatry by placing yourself in the place of God. James makes this clear. God is able to save, and he is able to destroy. God is the judge. God is the lawmaker. And when we presume to know the spiritual state of another person in such matters, we make ourselves out to be God himself. Now, before moving to some applications, let me recap again these three reasons why in James' argument. And then we're going to have some applications for the rest of our time. It is sinful because we judge our brother. And when we judge our brother with harmful speech, we judge the law. When we judge the law, we judge God, who is the author and giver of the law. And when we do this, we place ourselves above God himself. So with this in mind, the rest of our time, we're going to have some applications. And they're not in any particular order. So hang with me. And if you want, you can go ahead and put your finger on Romans 14 for a few minutes too. First application. We as Christians can and must make right judgments. The Bible is not telling us not to judge. Okay? It's telling us not to judge in the way that we're speaking about slandering our brother with harmful speech and putting ourselves above God, assuming we know that person, okay? We're not to do that. The Bible is real clear that we are judges. In fact, the church is the pillar of truth. And so we have to judge in some way, shape, or form. And so, as regards us, people of God here, just right here at Grace Baptist, we must discriminate, judge rightly. We have a right as a congregation to do our best in judgment to decide if a person is a Christian or not. When you come into Grace and we do the class for membership, what do? We talk about the gospel. We ask about your life. We find out what's going on. And a good bit of that time is spent knowing not just if you want to come to Grace and you talk because you know who we are and what we're like, but as elders, the best way, and as a congregation, that we protect the flock is by making sure that Christians come in. And so that's what we do. We can't always guard the best, but we do our best. And so we're making judgment calls. When we bring them before the congregation, we're making a judgment call. We're saying, we really believe this person is a Christian. And so we are to judge rightly. After all, the Bible says that we, as the church, have been given the keys of the kingdom to do this. Very much we have the authority to do this. And we have the keys of the kingdom to say when someone is unrepentant and unrepent after on and on going to that person in love with one person, with two people, with three people, and then with the body of Christ, to say, as a body, this person should not take the Lord's Supper with us. We have every right. Is that not a judgment call? And anyway, there are lots of safeguards there in the scriptures to do that properly, I hope. And so we can make certain judgments. But this is not the kind of judgment that James is talking about. Again, he is speaking about wrongly judging and speaking evil against a brother or neighbor by taking the place of God and the law, questioning another person's faith, condemning them wrong in the sight of God. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 14. In the church at Rome, they were judging one another. So Paul writes a whole chapter. And James just says a little bit. Paul writes a whole chapter on judging one another. I'm not going to, certainly not going to preach this right now. Oh my goodness, he does that. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to read some of the chapter, just as an example. Look at Romans 14. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. But keep your finger there. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. So there's some quarreling going on there over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Now we're talking about meat offered to idols. He said, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Then in verse 5. One person esteems one day is better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Then in verses 10 to 13. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? Wow, those are strong words. For we all will stand before the judgment seat of God. This is the same principle James is teaching. We all will stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, let each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of the brother. That's one application. Second application, very quickly. The world will direct harmful speech towards us as Christians. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. 1 Peter 3:14 and following. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So the world will direct harmful speech at us, but we, sometimes, in some ways, we take it, knowing that God will be the ultimate judge one day. And we're trying to win those folks when we do take it. We don't engage back to them in harmful speech. May it not be so, brothers and sisters. As hard as it is, when we're watching even all of the news, I can see it. Even in our own family, harmful speech from the heart flowing out. Now, I'm not talking about righteous anger. I'm not talking about that. And I don't know if I can. We have to decide there what's going on. And God is our judge, but it's going on. Another application. Even if something is, let's say a brother or sister has done something and we want to tell somebody the truth, and that person has done something that they've sinned, and it doesn't look good on them that they've sinned, and we know it. What do? Can you believe what our brother did? I'm just telling the truth. Well, this is wisdom, brothers and sisters. Even if something is true about a person and they sin, doesn't Paul talk about the weaker brother in Romans 14? Well, we should not speak that sin to another person unless they've sinned against us. This opens up a whole other area that what we should do is Matthew 18, one person going, two people going, three. But if someone sins, we should let it be, and at least not, I'm not saying don't judge that sin or don't approach that brother. I'm not saying that at all, but we shouldn't go to someone else, because then that person's going to think about that person. And we're all, I always say this often, we're all at different places in our place of sanctification on the way to heaven. Some are more mature than others, but we are all sinful people, and we're all prone to sin. Praise the Lord, we have Christ. But we should not speak to another person and defame them or slander them in any way. Another application. James' command to not speak evil or slander, first, it extends, as I already mentioned, to everyone. So we might say, well, I'm not going to speak about my brother or sisters in Christ, but I'm going to speak about a government official. Well, again, we can righteously speak truth and share our truth with our reasons why. And we all know how it hits our hearts and how far each one of us can go. But there is such a thing as still sin, harmful speech. And then what does it do to our family when our families hear our harmful speech? We must think about that. But let me say this. It goes to everyone, but it is most destructive here. That's why God hates it so much. So is discord among brethren. For this is where we live. These are our friends. These are our phone calls. These are the folks that we eat with and sing with and pray with and talk to and associate. We are a family together here at Grace. And it can be very destructive. It is a sin to speak evil in this way. Again, against evil. But here, it is especially harmful. So let me just ask some general questions here. Parents, when we sit with our kids and we watch television and we sit around with them or around the table as we discuss life, sports, politics, religion, whatever, do we speak evil of anyone? Now again, it's okay to point out the truth or the error, but we must refrain from speaking evil or questioning motive. We leave those things to God. Now what I'm talking about here moves us, I think, this is difficult. This is one of those words of wisdom, pastoral wisdom. These are the small things to really where you can tell where your Christianity is becoming mature, especially with our speech and our hearts. Because this is where we see the most mess. This could be one of the nitty-gritty points of our sanctification, how we use the tongue in this way. We should take the advice of my grandmother, who's always said to me, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. Now, that's very simple. But that's still pretty good advice. And if we want to take it to its logical conclusion, we must move all the way, not just from the speech, but we must go all the way to the heart. Anyway, let's move on to the next application. If you are not willing to confront your brother or your sister about something that they've done, maybe they haven't committed a sin against you, but they've committed a sin and it bothers you. Well, especially if they've sinned against you, but if you're not willing to go to that person and speak in love, then I would say be willing to let it go. Because what is it going to do? It's just going to harden. It's just going to stay there. If you're not willing to go to that person, and that person, you may have questioned their motive wrong. You may have it all wrong. But you question it, you got them on the wrong page, on the wrong side, you're not willing to go to them, then that's okay. And that happens all the time because love covers a multitude of sins. But be willing to let it go. And then move on. And then not think evil about your brother or your sister as you move on. But if it continues to get you, and it continues, and it goes on, I would say, brother or sister, approach your brother or sister and talk to that person. Again, if you're not, be willing to let it go because love covers a multitude of sins. And I think this is a question, too, of maturity. Another application. Speaking evil in this way, when James is speaking of harmful, critical speech, is almost always accompanied with other sins. And those sins are nasty. Here in James, we see jealousy. We see in other places too, 1 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter. It seems like pastors are writing to these congregations about such things. But when there is harmful speech, there is jealousy, there is selfishness, there are quarrels, there is pride. James says they are double-minded. You know why? Because harmful speech, it doesn't just harm us, it harms everybody. And then the effects of harmful speech move into all those things that we can see. It harms both us and our neighbors. Quarrels over most issues usually end up in personal attacks and judgmental attitudes. Even if both sides, it's a bit of a matter of conscience, and both sides could be right. From one perspective, both sides can't be right. But from another perspective, yes, that is true. A good example would be a church split. I mean, some of us here came out of a church split many years ago, and many people were just sitting there. Didn't know what was going on. And then the next thing you know, there's harmful speech coming out and going to and from every which way that you go. And it happens, if you think of any church split, which happens all the time, especially Baptist churches, what do you see? Harmful, judgmental speech that ends up in quarrels and fighting. I mean, we find ourselves right in the middle of James. And so that is one of the reasons he is maturity. Move on to maturity. Harmful speech causes all this mess. If we want all this mess, then be harmful in your speech. Be unlawfully critical in your speech, and it is a sin. Another application. Quickly. Notice the depths of sin that we can find even in a local body. You think of 1 Corinthians and all the divisions that were going on. And Paul's telling, hey, you're coming together to take a Lord's Supper. It's a love feast. What you're doing is actually a hate feast. And so, that's in 1 Corinthians. In James, we see jealousy, selfishness, quarrels, pride, double-mindedness. But then in this text, all of a sudden James shifts. Instead of calling those things double-minded and quarrelsome, he says, brothers. He brings it back, saying that brothers and sisters sin. Which of us have not sinned this week? And the thing is, yes, sins can be graded, and the effects of sins are more devastating depending on certain sins, but a sin is a sin against God. All of them are destructive, and they lead to death, or the wages of sin is death. And so if we're gonna commit with the tongue, and even earlier, didn't James say it's like a forest fire? We let it go, it's a little rudder, you know, that steers this huge, huge ship. All of these things. Critical speech, the tongue, things of the tongue are destructive. But notice too just how bad it can get. Yet the Bible has great news in the gospel. Jesus Christ is our advocate, and we go to him in repentance and in faith, and we move on. So, another application. Can you gain anything from harmful speech? The world thinks it can, for sure, because that's all we're seeing when we turn on the TV. But in the end, it is a sin. And we must not follow the ways of the world, which is what James is saying. Judgment will find its course in due time. As Christians, we must be different in the way we use our tongues. And it must start right here. And I must say that this can only be accomplished how? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Final application. Christians, brothers and sisters, this is to Christians, okay? I don't presume that everyone here is a Christian. If you are a Christian, if you have the Holy Spirit, then those who have the Holy Spirit, we receive instruction well. So how well do you receive instruction about such things? I say this because this topic is always the most difficult to evaluate and to receive. This type of speech. And then how it goes down to our hearts. For often we honestly don't know if our speech is harmful or not. I don't know how many times I've spoken, and I haven't thought I've harmed anyone, but I've harmed, and I'm the kind of person throughout, Kristen can tell you quickly, I've put my foot in my mouth so many times that she helps me along. And that happens. And I've sinned against you guys, or I've hurt you in some way, and I don't even know that love covers multiple sins. But often it's hard to know where we sin here, or if it's harmful. For often we're just immature. We honestly don't know if it's harmful or not. We're not very wise with the use of our tongues. And so as we move forward in this area, it's very difficult. For it requires humility. James talks about humility a lot. Humble yourselves before the Lord. God gives grace to the humble. We want what we want at the expense of harming our brother or sister. What causes quarrels and fights among you is not this, that your passions are at war. This is James. So as a pastor, in closing, I say to you, brothers and sisters, move on to maturity. Watch your tongue. Bite your tongue. Get down on your hands and knees and pray that God will move your motives to love brother and sister. Because this is how we love one another. And we love one another with or without our tongues. And we become more and more light and soft in the world. As James says, you adulterous people do not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And I would say, as you hear this sermon, I know it's been longer. I knew it was longer today. I knew the application was going to be longer. But I pray that you get one thing from it. And at the end of the day, at the very end, we look unto Christ. That's who keeps us going. It is the good news of the gospel that our sins are covered, even as we may be very, and hopefully are very convicted as we hear these words today. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words. Father, I know that I may not have been very eloquent, certainly today, in my speech and communicating, but I pray that by your Spirit, your word will communicate. Something will come forth that is good and will be helpful to us as we think about how we use our tongues. May we use our tongues well one with another, which we usually do. But may we use our tongues well when we get into our homes, in our cars, and with our kids. Father, may we move on to maturity. I pray that you give us great grace in this area and help us to look unto Christ. Father, we give you the day. Help give us good Sundays, even as those of us will meet later. And as we go our ways, think of those who travel this week, bring us back together next week.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.